from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, how about that? The plot thickens, or maybe does the plot thin? So we're all the way back to the start. Now the favorite in the clubhouse is Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers get together in Kumbaya.
Extension.
Yeah.
That's the favorite. I mean, beyond Kumbaya, and I'm going back to our thread where Grandy so astutely put out what he thought was most likely. Doesn't get traded, doesn't get extended, was his top. Signs extension was his 2, traded was his 3, and I went the other way. I thought traded was the most likely.
Yep.
I thought signs extension was the least likely, and you thought signs extension would be the least likely as well.
Yeah.
And so here we are. Grandy's 2, my 3, your 3, and it looks like that might become the 1.
Well, again, it, quote, looks like that because a couple people tweeted it, and so... do we believe it this time? I don't know.
I've believed everything every time, and I've been wrong like 7 ways to Sunday.
Yeah, but here that's the thing. That's the thing is, like, the reason I guess I believe it is not because a couple people we respect have tweeted it. I believe it because it's always been the only thing that makes sense, and it's how you and I left the show yesterday. Like, what are we doing? Why on earth? Why? That's the question you know I've been asking all week. Why are you talking to the Steelers? What is in it for you? And Brandon, why? What's in it for you? Drake May? Russell Wilson? What are we doing? What are we doing? And the beans got spilled all over the place on this station yesterday. From Herm Edwards to TJ Houshmandzadeh to Matt Barrows to everybody who's come on and essentially said the same thing. These two still want each other. That's why I called it Ross Rachel yesterday. We're making up reasons to stay apart. So just end the charade. End the charade. Brandon, are you probably asking for whether it's a little bit too much or are your feelings hurt a little bit too much? Niners, are you being a little unreasonable? The answer to all of these questions is yes. I don't know what the middle ground is. I'm just confident that it's there.
Well, when Brandon Ayuk turns down more money with New England, a reported 32, and TJ Houshmandzadeh came on yesterday and said it was more than that. He was saying that It was more than 32 a year.
Yeah, it wasn't a question, though.
Right. Yeah. When he turns that down, that signals to me that Brandon Ayuk wants to be a 49er. And then it becomes a question of him working it out. Even if Pittsburgh would have come in, I don't think Pittsburgh would have come in and paid him 32 or more than 32.
Probably
and even
not,
if
yeah.
Even if they would have, he still might have just wanted to be a Niner. So maybe all of this posturing by Brandon Ayuk, the request for a trade, the shopping himself all around, led the 49ers to maybe be more motivated to try and work on an extension. Or maybe this was the plan all along.
This is all happening in real time. So I want to like try to carefully choose my words here, because if I don't, then the director of sports, Lucas Alexander, is going to put it all over Twitter and get me in trouble.
You get aggregated.
Well, 888-957-9570, first and foremost, with regard to what your reaction is simply to the idea that the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk have rekindled extension talks. But one of the first thoughts, not the first thought, but on a short list in terms of thoughts that popped in my mind when I heard this, I'll phrase it as a question. Are you getting a little tired of the 49ers having to win the deal?
Like the, yes.
There's a piece of this where you're like, we told him 20, like, and again, I don't know what's actually being shared back and forth. And I don't know who ticked who off and all that stuff. I'm not there. But if the reports are, you shopped him at the draft, you offered him 26 in May, the price went up, you didn't like that, and then you didn't talk to him. You didn't talk to him for 2 months. And then you go through the process we're calling the Patriots and the Browns and the Steelers and the Commanders. And all along, all he really wanted was 28. And you're still sitting here on August 9th with a game now 4.5 weeks away, a preseason game 24 hours away. And you're still sitting here with this whole thing in limbo. I'd argue you're being a little overly firm. You're a little egotistical in the way that you're doing this, if you're the 49ers. Again, I get it. This is big stuff here. Like millions of dollars and Brock Purdy's extent. I understand everything going on. But this idea of we got to win the deal, we do it a certain way, we're going to drive the hard bargain, we're going to take it to the end. Nick Bosa, last few days, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to stop short of saying you should pay everyone, but dude, come on.
$2 million.
I don't know,
if
right?
If that's how far apart you are, it's $2 million, then not only meet in the middle, but give the guy his money and let him come in and practice. Make this so it's not a distraction and Kyle Shanahan has to open a press conference and answer 7 questions about it and sports talk radio hosts are spending day after day on it. And this has been a thing now for 5 months. I don't know if they were close to a deal at 26 back in February or March and it got to this point where now the number might be 28, but it feels like it would be worth it to just give them the couple $1 million, whatever the guaranteed number is going to be, and have this not be a distraction, because you've got players answering questions about it. You've got podcasts and hosts and the coach, and everybody's having to answer these questions. And we did a whole show about a couple of handshakes at practice and all of this so that Parag Marate can win the deal. It feels like you're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Well, and we're sitting here asking questions and sharing opinions, but here's the fact. This is the third summer in a row that's gotten dicey. It's a third summer in a row. So is the process flawed?
Well, it depends on what you want as the result. You know, it's about process versus result. For them, it's about the result. And right. If the process means you have Nick Bosa come in late and Debo signs in the end of July and Brandon Ayuk holds in, maybe that process is not ideal, but you're more fixated on the result. And the result is win the deal.
But they didn't with Nick Bosa. They got crushed. They got absolutely crushed by all accounts. Nick got everything he wanted. So they did not win by using their process. TJ Houshmandzadeh told us yesterday, you wanted to have Brandon at 26? You would have. You would have if you just did this in March. But no, we had to go to the draft, and we had to knock on every door, and we had to pretend like we were floating Debo, too. We had to call, Patriots, Steelers, trade. We've been the story all summer long. I swear to you, I don't know if any other NFL team exists this summer. Everything has been Niners. Lead up to the draft, Niners. Then Netflix, Niners. Now it's camp, Niners. Williams, Ayuk, Williams, Niners. Christian McCaffrey doesn't show up for OTAs. Niners. You've been the story all summer long. And Debo, scrubbed IG, Bosa took you to week one. I think it might, like, that's all I'm saying. I think it's time for the 49ers to go, you know what? We're a little bit of a different organization, and this is a compliment. You're not the organization you were 6 years ago because you're a bunch of badasses, and you built something really, really special. I think maybe it's high time to simply review your own process.
I'm sure they do every year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're ever going to get to the point where you get to an off-season negotiation and you make a deal in March, because it's just not what they've done. And I don't know if Parag Marate is cut out to do that. He wants to win the deal. It seems that's been his MO. So you wait. And in this case, I can't imagine he didn't see the wide receiver market getting bigger. But I do think that the calculation was that Brandon Ayuk would turn, you know, he would come to heel, so to speak, and he would just give in earlier, and he wouldn't go the way that he went as far as requesting a trade and then holding in and becoming an internal distraction. I don't know if he's a problem or not. Distraction, at the very least. So the process has to be different for every player, because the process with Nick Bosa, well, Nick couldn't give a crap. He was at home eating 7-egg omelets and having Wagyu steak with mom and working out and, you know, doing whatever he was doing. I don't think that he was that. He wasn't publicly worried.
Well, right.
He might have been privately a little bit concerned.
He has said differently. Cheryl Bosa told us differently earlier after it happened. But they
didn't blink.
No.
He didn't scrub. He didn't request a trade. He didn't do anything outwardly.
Well, that's just his way.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that was part of the reason why the Niners ultimately gave in, because they got to a point where they realized you can't trade Nick Bosa. You got to pay Nick Bosa.
Yeah, there's no, like, Nick Bosa, we knew was going to be a market setter. He was going to set the market for his position. We knew that. He knew that. Niners knew that. Brandon Ayuk is not. There's a lot more debate there. There's debate there for two reasons. One, is Brandon Ayuk the sixth best receiver? Is he the 11th best receiver? There's debate there. And then I think there's further debate on just the importance of wide receivers within an offense, particularly this one. You know, even Chad Ochocinco the other day calling Brandon Ayuk replaceable. So this one is trickier. It is trickier. And the goalpost did move. Most people think that that's fair, and that's on the fault of the 49ers because they waited too long. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. I'm not saying that you suddenly need to be pushovers, but review your process. Waiting is not always the right thing to do. Waiting and twisting someone's arm, I'd argue for two off seasons in a row, has bit you in the butt.
Well, I don't think that last year you would have paid less had you signed earlier. So last year is an interesting one because he was going to reset the market. And I don't think that, and I don't remember all the deals that came in before Nick Bosa, but that number was going to be the biggest in history. And you kind of knew it. Maybe you were just trying to figure out financially everything else leading up to Nick Bosa before you had to go out there and pay him. I think there were a couple other restructures last year that you did before Nick Bosa got signed. So that one felt a little bit less about arm twisting. Maybe, you know, maybe you were waiting into camp and trying to see if he'd report, see if he'd give up some of that leverage, so to speak. And once you got into August, well, then you're just going to wait because, you know, you're hoping that maybe he gets antsy and he comes in or he settles for less. But Nick Bosa always was going to have the hammer in that deal because you can't replace Nick Bosa. Brandon Ayuk, you can replace. Well, and in fact, you drafted a guy who might be his replacement in the next year.
Yeah, but I'd argue that waiting with Nick Bosa was damaging, not because it changed the number, but it may have changed the start of the season.
I'll agree with that.
Right? Like, you, like, if you're going to pay that, just pay that in July, and then Nick gets a full training camp, and you don't have the slow start that you got. So that's what I mean. Like, did you get bit with the Debo thing? Maybe not, right? Because that was early. It was an annoyance, whatever, that happens. But so if you're not going to give me three off seasons in a row, at least two, I would say two off seasons in a row, you have played the waiting game, and that has not helped you.
Well, Debo too, because he signed either July 31st or August 1st, so it was already...
And he came in out of shape.
Right, and he, you know, missed OTAs because he didn't have a new deal, and so you got into the summer portion of the program, and he wasn't there. And so, yeah, that part of the process, it's difficult, though, because you're asking Parag Marate to handle the financials and do all these things that, you know, you always talk about cap schmap, and part of his job is to figure out how to play with the numbers and push this contract off and keep this one at a different number and do all of this financial gymnastics. And part of that is a timeline. Like the Trent Williams thing, I do think the more we talk about it is, you know, letting Trent wait because you got to figure out the Brandon Ayuk first.
Maybe. That may well be the case, but I think part of Parag's job, not that he's not doing this now, but is to be predictive. I mean, I'm listening to Steiny and Goo earlier today, and they're talking a lot about Jonathan Kuminga. Would you? Well, yeah, there's some predictive measures going on here. The Warriors are going to take a chance. I would argue, of course, you don't give Jonathan Kuminga a max extension right now. However, you are playing a little bit of a game of chicken. If Jonathan comes out and doesn't show out this year, you saved some money. If he does, you lost some money. And it's your job. You know these players better than anybody. It's your job to know what is going to go on in the market. It's your job to know that Amon-Ra is going to get a new deal. Justin Jefferson is going to get a new deal. All of these things. Devontae Smith's going to get a new deal. Jaylen Waddle. You got to know that. You got to know that. And you got to be thinking about, well, what's that probably going to do to the market? That didn't, as you said, that didn't catch anybody off guard.
The numbers did, I think. Maybe. The increases, and forget Justin Jefferson.
You knew because, he was going to set a new market.
Right, but you didn't know that that would be that high. And that happened after all these other deals. And when Amon-Ra gets 30, it's wow. And he's a great receiver. He's top whatever you want to put him in. But when that number came in that high and all the rest of them were north of 26, some in the 28s, you're thinking, oh, geez, we probably should have signed him for 26 back in March.
I don't know. I mean, the wide receiver thing has been telegraphed here for a few years that market is exploding.
But it jumped. It might have jumped more than they thought.
Maybe. We're sponsored by Lucky California. All right, let's get into it a little bit with you. 888-957-9570. A, what is your reaction to the news that the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk have reengaged with one another? B, do the 49ers need to reevaluate the way they're handling summer? 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Friday, let's do this damn thing. If you are just joining us, the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk have re-engaged. Re-engaged. It's almost like Maverick and Top Gun. Maverick's re-engaging, sir!
Did you engage? Yeah, they re-engaged.
They re-engaged!
Well, it's about damn time. Shout out Lizzo.
They may just get mad at each other again. I don't know, but...
Here's how it went. This morning, Ryan Williams, the agent, got a call. Not from Parag or John, but from Jed York. And Jed said, Hey, Ryan, this is Jed. This guy TJ Houshmandzadeh, I think he's in your camp.
Right.
He was name-checking me on 95.7 The Game, so I felt it was important that I give you a call so that we could re-engage. He got name-checked.
I'm trying to look at which one. Where does he? Oh, here it is. This is the one where TJ Houshmandzadeh just appeals directly to, I think he at one point calls him Jed York and then calls him Jay York.
Mm.
I don't know if TJ knows the owner of the 49ers. He certainly didn't. He asked us. He asked, who's the owner out there?
Didn't call him John York or Denise DeBartolo York.
Okay, here it is.
I told him this. Like, if I got a pick, I'm staying with the Niners. Why wouldn't you? And so it's up to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And hold up. What's the owner's name?
Jed York.
Jed York. You listen to this, Jed York. Make it happen, Jed York. Don't let feelings come into place when it's business. You can't let your feelings get in the middle of business. Get it done. It sucks when another team appreciates your talent more than the team that drafted you. Because, we want you. Well, show me. Why you want me to take less? You're not giving anybody else less. You didn't give any. Who else played on their five contract? Bosa didn't. Debo didn't. Why do I have to? Players look at things like that. And you just want to be fairly compensated. B.A. had 105 targets. I believe CeeDee Lamb led the league in 171 targets, I believe. So he had 66 more targets than B.A. I believe he had 400 yards, little give or take 400 yards. So out of those 66 targets, B.A.'s probably going to catch at worst 40 of them. He would have led the league in yards. He would have led the league. And so you have a good player that wants to be there, and he's probably done some things along this process that you don't like, as have you. Figure it out, Jay York. You the man that's signing the checks, baby. Get it done.
I mean,
that's
simply what Brandon Ayuk's basically good friend and wide receiver coach, he sounds like he's emotionally exhausted.
Right.
Jed, you get it done.
Jimmy. John.
If that's what TJ sounds like, what does Brandon sound like?
Probably sounds the same. Maybe not quite as high-pitched at the end of sentences. I love him checking his own math as he goes and like 61, 65. Yeah. And he gets back into character. 65 targets. Probably catches 40 of those.
Well,
and he leads the league.
He heard on 95.7 The Game that the math still works,
yep.
And he wanted to make sure that he got it right.
Sorry, Steiny.
Yeah, sorry,
the math
Steiny.
Works, no doubt. But I do think that, whatever, I don't think that the TJ interview spurred them all back into action.
I do.
Who's to say?
Yeah, you don't know.
All I know is on the heels of him calling out Jed York, all of a sudden now we've got re-engagement.
We got action.
And that's great news.
Well, you and I both really, really enjoyed something that Greg Cosell, longtime NFL films, like just somebody who breaks down the film. He did a full breakdown of every single Brandon Ayuk target through the whole year. And he came up with something that you have to hear, especially as these two sides re-engage. And we're going to play that for you in a couple of minutes. But we want to go to the phones. Rick in Sacramento wants to weigh in. Hi, Rick. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, I love your show. Hey, Dibs, I respect your opinion. You guys got great both opinions. But, Dibs, I probably agree with you 99% of the time. But this question is for both of you. All right. Do you think the Niners are being a little on the frugal side? Or do you think Brandon Ayuk's being greedy? In my opinion, I think that I'll take your opinion off the air. But I think that Brandon Ayuk's not looking at the Niners with a straight face and asking for a 5-year dealer and a figure. I'll take your answer off the air.
Rick,
thank you, Rick. Frugal versus greedy.
Yeah, frugal versus greedy. I will quickly say I don't think either word fits perfectly. What do you think?
Well, if I was to choose between frugal and greedy, I would say that the Niners are being frugal because Brandon, if he was being greedy, would have taken the $33 million or whatever from New England. I think that this is the cost of doing business with a wide receiver. If the Niners want to keep him, then I think this is the cost. And if they're trying to hit him with $26 million instead of $28 million, I would say that the Niners are being frugal more than Brandon's being greedy.
I would say the 49ers are being stubborn. I don't think they're being frugal. I think they're being stubborn. I don't think this is about the $2 million. I think it's about winning the deal. So I think the Niners are being stubborn. I don't think the Niners are cheap. Actually, if you look at the way this all works, I don't really think you can argue that the 49ers as an organization are cheap.
It's not cheap. It's frugal. Frugal is different than cheap.
Well, but the idea that they're trying to save a buck here or there, the 49ers will spend on what they absolutely value. So do they value Brandon Ayuk the way he wants to be valued? I don't know. And there is timing involved here. So I'm not going to say that this is about them penny pinching, saving dollars, any of that stuff. I think they're being stubborn. I think they got beat last year on a deal and they don't want to get beat again. I think that's what this is about for the Niners. As far as Brandon, I don't think he's being greedy. I would never actually use that word for a player. Especially in football. I have too much respect for what these guys do with their bodies. It is insanity. And it can end in an instant.
Right.
Anytime.
In practice or in a flag football game in Hawaii.
Totally. So you get every dollar that you can get. And if you want to remain resolute on that, then that's fine. Where I've criticized Brandon is about being genuine with your demand. So if your demand is trade me and then they trade you and the money's there, you don't get to say no. But I also understand it to a degree because Brandon is somewhat, in this case, like a hamster on a wheel trying to find leverage. And yeah, you're just not going to find any. So he's knocking on every door to see what works. But I've never understood the idea of demanding a trade. He's under contract.
Well, he requested it.
Whatever.
It's semantics. Sure. It's a little different.
That's fair, but you get what I'm saying.
I do.
You're under contract and another place is not better for you.
Right, but if it's, you know, if they're offering 26 and he wants more and they're not budging, then it's, okay, then trade me because I think that there's a team out there that will pay me more. And so the team says, all right, we'll do that. We'll grant you the idea to go out there and shop it. And then you do shop it and you find it and the team does the work to make the trade in framework, in structure, work. And then you go back and say, nah, not that place. That is a little bit disingenuous.
Yes.
I'll give you that. Because the whole thing is, you know, and TJ Houshmandzadeh said this a couple of interviews ago, that he just wants to get paid, and Grandy plays that drop all the time. And, well, he wants to get paid, but he really just wants to get paid by the Niners. So he wants max money from the Niners, and the Niners aren't going to do that. Not because they're cheap, but because they're frugal. And I think frugality sometimes gets a bad name. I know somebody very well who, when buying something, we'll look at 7 or 8 or 9 different places to try to get a $25 item for $22.50. And sometimes I get exhausted by this individual.
I bet I know who it is.
I bet you don't, Mark. And I wish you wouldn't guess.
I won't. I
appreciate you not guessing. Okay. Because can we just buy the item?
Know.
I'll tell you what. I'll throw the extra $2.50 at you. I'll Venmo you.
Yeah.
Do you take Zelle? Can this just be done?
I do take Zelle.
But frugality is great, because sometimes the frugality with which I experience, it nets a great result.
Well, you use the word disingenuous with the Brandon side. Now, here's where the 49ers could be accused of being disingenuous. Why do you tell a player, why don't you go see what's out there? Why don't you go head out on the open market? Well, the idea normally is, well, you think you're worth X, we think you're worth Y. Why don't you go out on the open market? I bet you're going to find out that you're worth Y. Brandon found out he's worth X and Y.
Man, and a touch of Z.
And then you go back to the Niners and you're like, see? And the Niners are like, yeah, we're still not budging. That would annoy me. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
That would annoy me. Look, that's why there's so many aspects of this. So many aspects of this.
But the fact that they are reportedly re-engaging means that they can come together, hopefully, and say, look, what you did raising your price, we didn't like. Well, I went out and got a price, and you're not even close to it. All right, can we just sit down here? Can we sit down here and like you said earlier, he wants to be there. They want him to be there. Let's make that the baseline for everything
and
figure this S out.
And you're not going to get, apparently, what you want from the Steelers in a deal that's going to make you feel whole. And by the way,
the Niners won't get what they want
in a
deal.
That's what I mean.
The Niners
are not going to get what they want from the Steelers in a deal. And by the way, part of that is because I don't think the Niners want to do a deal. They don't want to do any deal. That's why these negotiations out and about keep falling through, in my opinion. Nobody actually wants the result. Brandon doesn't want to play for the Steelers. And the Niners don't want Brandon to play for the Steelers. And the Niners don't want the picks that the Steelers might give them and have to shop them. And maybe the Raiders will give us all of this crap. The answer is sitting right in front of both sides, and you've both licked the Oreo. You both told us how you feel. The Niners want Brandon, and Brandon wants the Niners. So good. Get back in a room. Apologize to each other for what you share in this experience, because both of them are guilty of some things. And try to move forward from there. Because I really, when you start crunching the numbers, this isn't that difficult. It's not. Like, the Niners cap structure can handle this. And the Purdy thing has been, and we're probably guilty of this too, has been overplayed in terms of its effect on this. Because Purdy will agree to something next year, but it doesn't take effect until the year after. We're talking about two seasons from now.
It's more the Debo contract,
yes.
Honestly.
Well, Debo's a free agent by then.
Well, I mean, Debo next year is where this year, this contract affects Debo next year. And if Brandon signs an extension now, his 14.1 goes down. I don't know the exact number, but it's roughly 12, I think.
It provides you more cap room that you might be able to give to Trent.
Exactly. So, but what happens is next year when that kicks in, and Brandon's making 28 and Debo's making about the same, that's where it affects you.
But Brock is still making $1 million that year.
Right.
He's still making $1 million that year. It's the year after that where you're like, I would argue if you're going to do the whole, you know, $55 million for one wide receiver room, do it next year. You can do it for 1 year and then figure it out from there. You know, I get it. You can't pay everyone. That is also true. But you are probably gambling with the wrong guy as far as the long-term future, because if this all doesn't really hurt you until calendar season 2026, okay, where's Trent Williams then?
Yeah.
Where's George Kittle then? Where's Christian McCaffrey then? I don't even know if any of these dudes are playing anymore. You know, I mean, yeah.
That's George, two more seasons.
George and Christian are still playing, but contractually, what are we doing at that point? That feels like something that could be figured out on a calendar date that's not here yet.
You've got time for it, certainly. And unfortunately, you have decisions to make before that, and there may be players that you have now that you won't have next year, whether it's Mooney Ward or other free agents. I know Dre Greenlaw is going to be up at the end of this year, and unfortunately, he's starting the year, it looks like, on PUP, and so he'll be out at least 4 games, and likely he'll be out for longer than that. And what does that do to his value, and how much you'd like to pay Dre? If Dre Greenlaw were healthy, you'd be in a whole different situation as far as what he's going to get. But there are other players out there. D'Amador Lenore and other players who will need to get paid, and maybe you won't be able to keep some of those guys if you give Brandon Ayuk $28
million. Maybe, but also maybe it doesn't actually kick in until the year after that. And in the NFL, that's a long time from now. Now, here's something we really wanted you to hear. Check this out. This is from the Ross Tucker podcast. Greg Cosell, many of you know who that is if you're an NFL fan. He breaks down film at, you know, Baldinger levels, if not more. Like, he really is just a film junkie and a longtime NFL expert. He went through every single one of Brandon's targets. Pay close attention to the conclusion that he arrives at after going through all of the targets.
I mean, I think if you went through, and I've done this with coaches, the top four or five receivers in the league, Ayuk would not be in that category. Now, maybe it's helpful. I watched all of Ayuk's targets again a couple of weeks ago from last year because I knew he was in the news. And if I could, it'll just take a moment. Here's what I finished typing when I watched all his targets. I said he's a sudden, explosive mover with nuanced route running traits and outstanding route quickness. He can separate and run away from man coverage on crossers and overs, and he has very good zone awareness to work into voids. He's strong run after catch with open field vision and shiftiness and acceleration. He's more sudden and explosive in short areas. The one thing he does not truly possess is vertical explosiveness. He's a perfect mix of talent and scheme where he is now.
That last sentence got me, man.
Yeah, a perfect mix of talent and scheme where he is now.
There you go.
And scene.
So there,
and all the other stuff is great too. He's great off the line. He can run crossers and overs against man. He's got incredible zone awareness, knowing where to sit down. He's got great run after the catch ability. He's got a fantastic burst. The only thing he doesn't have is real, true, deep, vertical, straight line speed. But memo to Niner fans, this is probably not a memo to you, they don't throw the ball deep, vertically, very often. And when they do, it's usually, hey, diddle, diddle, kittle down the middle.
Or you bounce it off someone's helmet and hope that Brandon catches that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he's actually done some okay things vertically. But you're right. We knew that already. The Niners have been going to Super Bowls for the last few years without a field stretcher. They tried to get it in Danny Gray. So far, that's been an absolute nothing burger. That last sentence got me, especially after the day we had yesterday, where by the end of the show, I'm sitting here going, dude, palms up. I don't understand why we're having trade conversations. It makes no sense for any party. And then when you get to that, he's a perfect blend of talent and scheme right where he is now. Then, God's sakes, keep him. Keep him. Keep him and find a way. Just find a way. Now, the other question that starts to pop to mind, though, is there collateral damage? You know what I mean? And look, we spent a lot of time yesterday saying this, too. Everybody gets over their hurt feelings in the NFL real quick. But I also wonder, you know, it's one thing to be out there on the field with your brothers, and Kyle Shanahan's the coach and all this, and so Parag and John Lynch and Jed York, that's all a degree away. But the Niners have had this sparkling reputation for so long. And now it goes Debo, and then it goes Nick, and it goes to Brandon. And so are you, even if you're keeping everyone, is there some sort of damage being done based on the feelings that keep getting hurt along the way? I'm not saying it's all there's all this room for feelings, but You do want that to be, you want the league to see that this is a good experience for players.
Of course.
You want them to want to come here.
And this from Jordan Schultz, at Schultz_report. He joins us today at 4, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
On Twitter, sources, Niner star Brandon Ayuk recently had a sit-down meeting with Kyle Shanahan and others in the organization where, quote, some open and candid thoughts were expressed. The two sides have since restarted negotiations on a long-term deal, blah, blah, blah. The thing that struck me, Mark, is they had an open and candid thoughts were expressed in this conversation. So it's a sit-down, and it's Brandon, and it's Kyle, and it's members of the organization. Maybe it's John, maybe it's Parag. Who knows
maybe
who else
Jed.
Is there?
Who knows?
Maybe. and they sit down and they're able to just, you know, man to man, person to person.
Sure.
What's bugging you? Maybe it wasn't brought to you by ATCO Pest Control.
It'd be cool if it was.
If they just went around the room. I'll tell you what's bugging me. You guys are trying to lowball me. Kyle, what's bugging you and stuff? Well, what's bugging me is that you come out and bro hug me, and I really want you out there in your number 11 and stuff, catching balls from Brock and stuff, and it's really bugging me. Hey, Jed, what's bugging you? Nothing. I'm a millionaire. Next.
Billionaire.
Back to you. You know?
By the way, Jordan has quote tweeted himself to add more information to this story.
That has caused blindness in laboratory rats, by the way.
It has, but in this case, I think it works. Okay. On top of what you just read, Jordan writes, it's also my understanding that the Cleveland Browns, who have been in pursuit of Brandon Ayuk, are under the impression that they are unlikely to acquire him in any trade. The situation remains ongoing, but Ayuk staying with the 49ers is very much in play again. Now, I'd argue that, and I understand the way it's been reported.
I do have people close to my personal situation that say Pittsburgh is still at the goal line.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They may be on the defensive side of the ball at the goal line.
Is Kenny Pickett the quarterback?
Seriously.
They're having a hard time punching it in.
That's a rough one.
Staying with the 49ers is in play again. It never wasn't. He's under contract with the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Staying was always in play. Joe in Los Gatos here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Just want to say, first of all, I think with Bosa, that's the NFL equivalent of an NBA max player. There was no way that deal wasn't getting done. He's a DPOY. That was a no-brainer. I think with the comparison to Kuminga has to prove it. I think Ayuk, you know, he's kind of in that same boat. I don't think he's asking for the max. I think the issue is more with Parag. I mean, I like Parag. I think he's a good negotiator. And Dibs, I'm going to send you a dollar later because I think he's a negotiation sensation.
Ooh, that's a bug.
He is.
Cha-ching!
Thank you. I don't think he likes to lose deals. I think the way the situation changed, I think there's an ego in play here. I mean, Parag, he's not going anywhere. He's got the big deal with Leeds as the VP. I'm not sure what his title is. But he's got security. And so I think Jed relies on him. And I want to say just like he kind of does what he doesn't want to lose. And I think if he caved to the new number, which I think is the market, and I think it's what Brandon probably is saying, like, hey, this is the new market, which is kind of like how all players are paid across all sports. I think he doesn't want to cave. And I think that's where the issue is. And so for me, as a Niner fan, I'm kind of more upset with Parag for, like, not understanding that and not wanting to, not bend, but just acquiesce to, like, hey, this is what it is.
Yeah, so, Joe, I think you...
That's fair, Joe.
Yeah, I think you're spot on,
although now I don't think it feels as much like a cave if New England was going to give him 32.
Correct.
Right?
I agree with you completely. That's the thing. Is Parag is sitting here saying, I don't want a cave. Like, this is the market. I think Brandon's argument is fair, where he's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. The market is over here, and I'll take a little bit less to stay. And it's wonderful that Parag, who's done a great job, doesn't want to lose the deal. But also, nobody likes the guy who walks in the room and is like, I don't lose, period.
Yeah.
Well, you have to meet people halfway sometimes.
And I think that if he settles for 28, it doesn't necessarily go down as a loss. If New England was going to give him 32 plus, 28 doesn't feel as much of an L.
Totally agree. Well, yeah, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Not done with this at all. 888-957-9570. Do the 49ers need to review the way they're doing summer? And Jordan Schultz in an hour. That said, also coming up this hour, Steve Kerr joined the roast, had some interesting things to say, and 10 out of 13 for the Giants, but somehow it feels like most of you still don't believe. So let's figure out why. Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.